First Chronicles chapter 28. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And when you find that, would you stand in reverence to God's word tonight? First Chronicles chapter 28, beginning in verse number 1, it says, "And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over thousands, and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men and with the valiant men, unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood upon his feet and said, 'Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel, and of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons. He hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel.'" And let's pray. Father, again, how we do thank you tonight for our time together in your word. Father, I pray that you'll fill me with thy spirit. Father, I pray that you'll give me clarity of thought and speech tonight. And Father, most of all, I pray that I might be a blessing to these thy people. Lord, if there's one here tonight, Lord, that isn't sure that if they were to die, that they would go to heaven, Lord, I pray that tonight you would speak to their heart, bring conviction upon them. And Lord, I pray that they would call unto Christ to receive him as their Savior tonight. Lord, use this time for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. You all know John chapter 3, verse number 16, right? Say it with me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For God so loved the world. And you and I know what word that is, right? It's the word agape. But you know, there's a difference between loving and liking, is there not? Right? We are told that God loves us, but you can love someone without liking them. Isn't that what the Lord commands, right? Love your enemies, but that he never said we had to like them, right? Never said, and I hate to say this, ladies, you are blessed, I think, from the Word of God. Because the Bible never tells you to agape your husbands. It's true. In Titus chapter 2, when it says the aged women were to teach the younger women to love their husbands, you know that was the word phileo. Would you at least like them? Right? Would you... Now, the husband is to agape his wife as Christ so loved the church, right? But to the women, he just said, would you at least like your husband? All right? But we're going to talk tonight about that difference between agape, which is love, and phileo, which is just liking, okay? Being fond of, that sort of thing. Now, we're to love our enemies. We're to love all as God loved all, right? Does God love you? Amen. He loves me too. Does God love the drunkard? Absolutely. Does God love the drug addict? Mm-hmm. That's right. Did God love Adolf Hitler? It's hard to imagine, but he did. And aren't you glad that you rate up there with drunkards, drug addicts, and Adolf Hitler in God's love for you? Why? Because God so loved the world. Now, I'm glad I'm loved. I truly am. I don't knock that at all, but I want us to understand there's a difference between loving and liking and how to get to cross that line, all right? Love is a giving thing. It means to do that which is best on behalf of the recipient, regardless of personal expense. Love is unsolicited. It is an action, not a reaction or a response to an action. It is based on principle and choice, not on what someone else does for me. Jesus illustrated that so wonderfully when he talked about love your neighbor. Who's my neighbor? Well, there was a Jew, a man of Israel, walking along, and thieves came across him, and they beat him and left him half dead. And a priest came up the road, crossed over to the other side, and let him lay there. And then a Levite comes up and he sees him, poor thing, and keeps on going. But a Samaritan comes. Now, if you know anything about the Samaritans, the Jews hated the Samaritans. So much so that they would not go through Samaria to get from Judea up to Galilee. They went the long way. And the wife may have said, honey, I know a shortcut. And he'd say, we're not going through Samaria. They would literally go east, cross the Jordan River, go up the east side of the Jordan, past Samaria on the other side of the river, and then cross back over to get back into Galilee. They hated the Jews that much. And as Jesus is giving this illustration, this parable, he's teaching them what love thy neighbor really is. The Samaritan comes along, sees this Hebrew. He's almost dead, but he picks him up, dresses his wounds best he can with his first aid kit on his donkey, sets him on his own animal, takes him to the inn, gets him a room, comes back, tells the innkeeper, look, I'm on business. I've got to get to my destination, but here's some money for you to take care of him. And when I come back through, if it costs you anything more than that, I'll take care of it. A stranger, someone that he knows, despises him just because of what he is, a Samaritan. But yet who then was neighbor to him that fell among thieves? If you read the parable, those whom Jesus, you know, who smarted off to Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? Wouldn't even say the name. The guy that helped him wouldn't even say his name. But it's a perfect illustration of what it means to truly love. Agape love. For God so agape. For God so loved the world. Right? Jesus even said, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto man, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto man. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. What did Jesus just say? You can say anything you want to about the Father. It'll be forgiven. Merciful heavens, you call that love? You can say what you want to against me, he said. It'll be forgiven. Now you say something against the Holy Spirit, well, you've crossed the line, okay? But I'm just saying, you can say what you want to about the Father, he'll forgive it. I mean, a person can, you know, you can walk up to a person, hand them a gospel tract, and they cuss you out and say all blasphemous things about God. And God said, I still love them. I want to save them. You know, that's agape love, right? And he loves all of us that way. Why? Because God so loved the world. However, to like someone is totally different. Right? I love your pastor, but I also like him. He's my friend. We have a bond. A bond that's lasted 4 decades. And then Brother Tommy, I was roommates with Pastor 40 years ago. And then Brother Tommy 39 years ago. All right? We go back a long ways. But I thank God. I thank God for the bond that friends have. I'm so thankful for that. But you know, I don't necessarily like everyone. I don't like what the drunkard does. I love the drunkard, but I don't like what they do. I don't necessarily like what they are, right? I can't think of one thing about Adolf Hitler that I like. Not one. Not to mention the contemporary Adolf Hitlers. I don't like them either, but I pray for them to be saved. Why? Because God so loved the world, and I'm commanded to do the same. That doesn't mean I have to like them. I like what they do, right? Now, here in our text, in 1 Chronicles 28, David says in verse number 4, "Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and the house, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel." That word liked. Now, if you go to Jeremiah chapter 31, you'll see that God said, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love." And that word love there is real close. Ahava, I think is how that's pronounced. Real close to the word agape. He said, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love." And it's the Hebrew version of the word agape. But here in this where it says, "he liked me," that's to have a fondness for. It means to be a friend to, fond of, an individual or an object, to have affection for, denoting a personal attachment as a matter of sentiment or feeling. David said, "God not only loved me, he liked me." And you know, that's something David never really knew, was being loved and liked like that. It hit me several years ago. Samuel comes to the house of Jesse as directed by God. He tells Jesse, "Bring hither thy sons." And Eliab passes by, and God says, "Nope." The next one passes by. "Mm-mm." Next one passes by. "Nope, not him either." And then all seven that Jesse had sent for, God said, "Nope." And Samuel becomes confused. "You said to come to the house of Jesse, are these here all thy sons?" You notice who he didn't even consider his son. David. Because David wasn't the rough and tumble like his older brothers. David wasn't the big strapping like his brothers. The Bible said he was ruddy. I remember Dr. Al Lacey years ago said he was redheaded and freckle-faced. Just a little ruddy kid. But you know, David. Can you imagine how David felt growing up? That his own daddy didn't even consider him as a son. That when Samuel said, "Bring your sons," David wasn't included. But all here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, God liked me and chose me. He not only loved me like he loves everybody, he liked me. He liked me. And I want to ask you tonight, you know, we know, you know he loves you, but does he like you? David was liked by God because God was pleased with him. David had no debt with God. This word liked, it means to be pleased with, specifically to satisfy a debt is what that word means. And God was pleased with David. David had no debt with God. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. No debt. Zero balance. It's all cared for. You say, preacher, how can I do that? Lord, once again, someone pulled out in front of me and I was mad and I shouldn't have been. Would you forgive me of that? What is that? No debt. You say, preacher, every time I get mad at someone when they pull out in front of me, I need to ask forgiveness. You suppose it would hurt? I don't. It's, you know, just like the person, you know, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Well, I haven't killed anybody lately, right? I haven't robbed a bank. I had one fellow years ago. I asked him, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? And he said, he caught me off guard. He said, I think I would, but you'll probably tell me I'm not. Well, you're not wrong, right? And I just had to laugh, and I said, okay, tell me. What is it that you feel that God would allow you into heaven for? He said, I have been faithful to my wife for 25 years. Then I met his wife. He was almost right. But I showed him from the Word of God. That's a great thing, but it's not by our works of righteousness. That's a good thing, but it's not enough. And he got saved that day. And I rejoice. I rejoice in that. But here he's, you know, David's pleasing the Lord. No debt. Zero balance. Okay? And so God, it says, liked him. He liked him. David walked with God, went to God for counsel, and God was pleased with that. And so God liked David. God likes loves everyone, but he doesn't necessarily like everyone. David, though, he liked. In the New Testament, we read that God loves all, but there are some whom God said he liked. In John chapter 21, we'll turn there in just a moment, but in John 21, you remember Peter said, forget it, I'm done, I quit, I go a fishing, right? He wasn't just going to the creek to kill some worms. He was going back to his old life, his old profession. And Jesus shows up on the shore. They've fished all night, caught nothing once again, right? And so someone hollers out, hey, did you catch anything? Nope, not a thing. Cast your net on the other side. I think I see a disturbance over there. And they cast out their net and filled the net. And John said, Peter, I hate to tell you this, but it's the Lord. And Peter had to hurry up and put his coat on, jump in the water. Why? Because every time you backslide, you start taking things off. Right? It said he was naked. Now, I don't know. He might have just been without a shirt. He might have had a pair of shorts on. I don't know. But whatever it was, said he was naked. He jumped in the water to hide himself. And then he's got to walk up to the shore, and here's Jesus. What did Jesus ask him? Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Now, there's the debate between, do you love me more than these other fellows do, or do you love me more than you love these fish? You know, that's not what we're concerned with here. Jesus said, do you agape me? And Peter responded, you know I phileo you. I'm not willing to commit, but I'm sure glad what you've done for me. Peter, do you agape me? Lord, you know I phileo you. He wouldn't commit. Then finally, now throughout this whole thing, it's Peter, do you love me? Lovest thou me? You know that I love you, but they're two different words. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, phileo. I'm fond of you. You've done something wonderful for me. You saved my soul. My sins are forgiven, and I'm so thankful for that. But I can't commit. And the third time, this is why Peter gets so frustrated. Jesus said, Peter, lovest thou me? This time it was, do you really phileo me? Jesus changed it from agape to phileo. And Peter gets frustrated, and you see it in the text. Yes! You know all things. You know I'm fond of you. Right? How many of you young people love pizza? Yeah. That's phileo. Okay? I don't think there's a person here that agape. Well, where's Brother Jeff? I saw him there. Miss Darcy, right? They may agape pizza, right? But we don't have an all-out committed love for pizza, whether it returns anything to us or not, right? We phileo it. We really like it. It tastes good, right? And this is the difference between agape and phileo. Someone asked me one time how I knew I was called to preach. I said I didn't want to wake up one morning and decided I had a craving for fried chicken and I knew I was called, right? I love fried chicken, but I only phileo it, right? But Jesus is having this conversation. And so there's that difference. And I want you to see something really special here. Turn with me to John chapter 19. I thought this was so neat when I came across this. John chapter 19. John, the disciple whom Jesus, what? Loved. Right? Now let's take a look at that. John chapter 19, verse 26. It says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. This disciple whom he agaped. All right. Look at chapter 20, verse number 2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. There's that phrase again, that disciple, the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Look at chapter 21, verse number 7. It says, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Look at verse number 20, if you would, please. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And the story continues. But you see there again that phrase, that disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, chapter 19, verse 26, chapter 21, verses 7 and 20, it's the word agape. But under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John was told by the Holy Spirit to write in chapter 20, verse number 2, that disciple whom Jesus phileoed. God not only said, I love you, he said, but I like you too. I like you. And you know, when I was studying that one time, and I just, wait, is that right? Is that a misprint? Is that right? No. God added in there, by the way, John, just so you know, I don't really love you like I love the whole world. You're special to me. I like you too. Woo! That's good. But we see here that not only does God love him like he loved the whole world, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John got to write, and he likes me too. That's good. Look at John chapter 11, if you would, please. John chapter 11. The story of We think of stories as fables. The account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Notice what it says. Verse number 1, chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany and the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Behold, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And then if you look down in verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. Both of those, phileo. Not only did Jesus love Lazarus as God so loved the world, but he liked him too. Why? He was pleasing to the Lord. His sister Mary was pleasing to the Lord. But the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus was a place. I mean, Jesus said that the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. But he knew when he passed through Bethany, he did. Because there was a family there, two sisters and a brother, that pleased him and that loved him with an unconditional love like very few had. And Jesus said, I like you. I like them. I not only love them like I love the world, but there's a fondness there that I like them. For all, as we know, Jesus has agape. But for some, he has this phileo. Now, turn with me to the book of Revelation real quick, please. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter number 2, the church at Ephesus. Verse number 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. and hast borne and hast patience and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Now let me ask you something. Does that sound like a church that Jesus loves? I'd say so. Does it sound like a people who love God? It does, doesn't it? But continue on. What does he say? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first agape. You've left your first love. You're doing all the stuff, but you've left your first agape. You've left your first love. Church, why do we do what we do? Bless God, we've been at it for 47 years at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Because it's what we're supposed to do. It's what the Bible says. Why do you run buses? Why do you bus workers, bus drivers, bus captains go out on Saturday and visit here on Sunday morning early and you take off in the buses and you go out? Why do you do it? I love those bus kids. Right? It's just something about being a blessing to them, pulling them out of that mess. That's exactly what the church of Ephesus was saying. And Jesus said what? You best repent or I'll shut you down. What? Count it. Four times he says about their labor for him. Your labor. You've borne. But read it. Verse number 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil and hast tried them which are, say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liar, and hast borne and patience and for my sake hast labored. He's mentioned four times their work for him, but he said, but we've got a problem. I have a problem with you, he said. You've left your first love. Now, again, Blessed Hope Baptist Church is doing, and you, young people, you are so blessed by God to be part of a work like this. I honestly mean that. You look around at those who were your age and were here. I remember Brother Chad from 23 years ago. And you know, he's not that old, right? So 23 years ago, he was a little thing, right? But has grown up to love God and serve God. But I'm here to warn him and others. Brother Nathan, I watched him grow up. He was more of a junior, senior in high school. Yeah, he really was in high school at one time. Amen. Doesn't seem like it to some of you, you know, but to watch them stick around and grow, there's got to be a love for the Lord like that. Brother Jeff, Brother Jonathan Reiser, so many still serving the Lord. But I want to give warning. Don't do what you do through Blessed Hope Baptist Church because you've always done it. Don't even do it because the Bible says so. Don't do it because, you know what, preacher? I got away from it for a little bit and I just couldn't stand life. I just had to get back to it. There's some folks like that, right? I just felt so empty not doing it. Wait a minute. What is your motivation surrounded around? Yourself. I don't know what I'd do without it. I don't know what I'd do without the ministry of the church, being involved in the ministry of the church. I just don't. Hey, folks, Jesus said, you're doing all the stuff. But I got something against you. And it's so serious that if you don't repent, I'll remove your candlestick. What's the candlestick? Chapter 1. It's the church. So what's the reason? Because I agape the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's what He needs. It's what He desires. He said it this morning. A whispered desire should be treated as a holy command. Brother Biber, are you saying that you love the Lord like that? I wish I could say it. I try to say it. And then I'll do it for a while. And then, just like everybody else, just like the Apostle Paul, just like some of the greatest preachers, the greatest Christians you could ever think of, I'm just as fallible as they are. But then I have to remember, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for being so cold, for not doing what I do because I love you. I agape you. You know what? Think about it. If the Lord said, I will save you from an eternity in hell, but that's it, does He not deserve our love, our adoration, our agape, if that's all He was going to do? But look at what He's thrown on top of that. Right? Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. But His grace is then giving us everything we don't deserve. And not only has He been merciful, but His grace has been poured out upon us. Now when we look at it, we find out that He agapes us. And for the most part, His people phileo Him. And I'll be honest, I do. Nothing wrong with that. But when you look at the whole thing, you find out that those who phileo Him and agape Him are the ones that He agapes. And phileos. God loves you. He loves me. We've got to ask ourselves, do I meet the criteria of Him liking me? And again, I'm not trying to discourage. God doesn't like me. He wants to. So desperately He wants to. But you know, there's a whole lot of responsibility on us for Him to like us, like He wants to. Oh, He's fond of you. He does phileo us to some degree. I'll admit that. Every one of us. But would He write of any of us the disciple whom Jesus phileo? Right? He whom thou phileo is sick. Would it be said of us? Folks, I just want to be a reminder. Amen. He does love us. Certainly loves us. But we ought to desire more. And He wants to give more. Or you know what? He wouldn't have mentioned it. Right? Well, you know, I just don't think that, you know, that should be our motive. That shouldn't be our desire, you know. Why? He wants to pour it out upon us. He loves us so much and wants to like us. You've got children. right? You love your children. You love all your children. Son, I need you to take the trash out. No, I don't feel led to take the trash out. Have you tried that, haven't you? No? Good man. I need you to clean your room up. You know what? I just don't feel like it. All right? I love you, Mom, but you're crossing the line there. All right? Now, you need something. You want something. All right? Hey, can we go out for ice cream tonight? No. Well, Mom, I thought you loved me. I do. Just the way you've been behaving lately, I don't like you so much. Right? We want God to bless us, but why should He bless us if we're not being likable? Right? Oh, He'll bless us. You know, just like Mom and Dad will keep a roof over your head, Brussels sprouts on your plate. Right? They'll feed you. Maybe not what you want, but how many of you have heard it? You eat what's on your plate. If you don't want that, you go hungry. Right? I hate to say it, I'm giving my mother ideas here. But it's still the idea. He wants to bless us. We need to be likable. He tells us how to do it. He said, look, I know you phileo me. Peter, I know you phileo me. But if you'll agape me, I'll phileo you. And something happened. Something happened the day of the ascension when Jesus was taken up and they all watched him. And the angel said, why stand ye gazing? He's coming back, right? Next thing, we find Peter in an upper room praying, studying his Bible. Hey, fellas, I was reading today in the Psalms, and I see here where we're supposed to replace Judas. What's he doing? Something amazing happened to Peter that day. All of a sudden, he became phileo-able because he decided to agape the Lord Jesus. Not just like Him, but to be committed to Him. Let's commit ourselves to Him because He wants to like us. Let's pray. Father, thank You again so much for that amazing love. But Father, forgive us so often. We're not very likable to You. Help us just to decide. We want You to like us. Not just love us like You love the whole world, but that You have a special attachment, a special fondness, a special closeness with us because You mean all the world to us. And we do what we do because we love You, and for no other reason. In Jesus' name, amen.